Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We're in a different phase right now. You know, we need to look at every possible scenario to help our team get better. And so when I talk about winning now, that absolutely comes into play. We're certainly not going to do something that doesn't make sense, but we will definitely talk about, you know, that type of move. And does that make sense? And maybe it makes a lot more sense now based on where our roster is and where our prospect pool is than it did, you know, 1, 2, 3 years ago. So we'll see how tonight shakes out. But, you know, this starts, to me, this a little bit jumps, you know, starts, I know there's playoffs going, but it a little bit jump starts the off season.
Welcome in Sabres Live here. Marty Baron with Dan Dunleavy on this beautiful May the 7th Tuesday. Looks like it's going to rain the rest of the week. So get your outdoor chores done today. That's what I keep saying, Dan. Cut the grass, clean up the backyard, whatever you got to do. But
as that's the bearer of bad news, Marty. You can't just say it's going to be sunny all week.
Look, I'm doing the best this or that. I mean, today is this, tomorrow is that. That's the way it goes, right? Kevin Adams was on WGR 550 this morning and discussed what is going to happen tonight, 6:30 on ESPN. The NHL draft lottery will be happening. And obviously, yeah, there's not a lot to discuss other than you wait and see what happens. But you know, for us here and for the fans that are wanting to say, oh, yeah, the draft lottery is tonight, 6:30. What does it mean? What are the Sabres in for the draft lottery? Right now, the Sabres sit at 11. They have the 11th pick, Dan. But they can. They're the last team that can get the number one overall pick. They have a 3% chance of getting there. They can get the second overall pick. They can get third. And they can also get 10. 11, 12, and 13, I should say. So is 3% then like good for you? Do you feel like, you know, dumb and dumber when he says, what's that one in a million chance all about? Like it could happen, or is it, forget about it. Like this is 3% is very low.
I'm not one to play with chances on odds and numbers, but listen, they're in the, they've got balls in the tank or whatever we're calling this thing. Yeah. So sure, you've got a chance. I mean, your balls are in the game, right? If you didn't have your balls in the game, they can't be picked. So the Sabres have, I don't know how many balls add up to 3%, but they're there. And
so they got 30 combinations. So that's the, okay. Right. Here's the other thing. I could go out there right now and put a tweet out and saying, you know what? Why are we watching the draft lottery tonight? It's rigged. The NHL has got this thing rigged. Utah is going to win it because the guy, you know, Ryan Smith paid $1.2 billion for the Arizona Coyotes to move there. San Jose, they have the better odds, but it's rigged for San Jose because Macklin Celebrini's dad. Celebrini, by the way, the number one overall pick most likely this year. His dad works for the Golden State Warriors, so he's going to the Bay Area. He could say it's rigged. But also, I feel like people don't know how the draft lottery works. That
Marty, how does it work?
Well, yeah, but I've seen it happen, actually. Well, I've not seen it, but I've seen the machine go. I was at TSN the one year, and they had a room, and the machine went into the room with the balls and everything, and all the GMs and that law firm and everybody is there watching it. So there is 1,001 combinations that 14 balls can come up with, right? So the Buffalo Sabres, because they have a 3% chance, they have 30 combinations. They have a piece of paper that gives them their four, you know, number combination, because it's a four number combination. And you wait, and then the balls are going to pop up. And then you say, two. And then you cross them off. The San Jose Sharks have 185 combination because they have 18.5% chances of winning the draft lottery. So that's how it works. And everybody knows, and they see the numbers and they see everything pop up. So I want people to stop with the whole, the draft lottery is rigged, because it's not. If we were pressing a button on tankathon.com and then the results came up and we had no idea how we got there, okay, I could see like it's a little bit sketchy. But this is as in the public as we can have it. There's a video of it. If the teams request a video, they can have a video. So Dan, what do you say to the conspiracy theorists that think this is all rigged?
First of all, they're not going to stop, Marty, because if you're built as a conspiracy personality, then that's the way you're going to act. So it's, they're going to continue. By the way, continue to buy tickets and come to the rink too. We love you. But for this, your point, no, I agree with you. I've been around the draft lottery, fortunately, and I think nobody in the organization would disagree with this, too many times, and have witnessed how it works and have been in the building, not quite in the room as you mentioned you were, but I've seen.
I wasn't in the room because they kicked me out of the room when the machine went in, and they said, and they blacked out the window so we couldn't see in, but I saw the whole machine come in. I was like, this is cool.
Wait a minute. Don't tell people they blacked out the windows, Marty, because then you got conspiracy thoughts going on. But anyway, to your point, no. And I was mentioning to Jeff, our producer, just before we went on, I said, of all people, if anyone in Buffalo thinks that the draft is rigged, given where the Sabres have picked over the last number of years and the players they have selected over the past number of years and the opportunities that the organization has had to turn it into something, for the life of me, I can't believe that anyone in Buffalo would, after tonight, suggest that the draft lottery is rigged.
Well, because twice the Sabres had the best odds and twice they got the number one overall pick. With, Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power.
And when you didn't, you've got number two, and Ekblad went one, and Reinhardt went two.
Yeah, absolutely.
And nobody predicted they'd end up on the same team playing for a Stanley Cup one day. It's just the way life worked out. So, no, conspiracy theorists, look, dig in. Sometimes it's interesting to watch, and it's interesting to listen to, but I'm certainly not hedging any bets.
And when Reinhardt went two, Dan, and when Eichel went two, and the Sabres had the best odds at Connor McDavid and did not get Connor McDavid, he went to the Edmonton Oilers, the draft lottery was different. It didn't work the same way. It was one team sliding into the top. It could have been any teams. Yeah. Now, it's only the top 11 teams. You can only move up 10 spots. So only the top 11 teams can win it. If the Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby, and the Fenway Group win the lottery tonight, because they actually have a 3% chance of sliding into the top five at number four. But if the Pittsburgh Penguins win the lottery, they can't get the number one overall pick. It has changed, right? So the Sabres are the last team that could get the number one overall pick, could have their sight on Macklin Celebrini, but most likely 79.9% chance that they stay at 11, which by that point, we can have Chris Baker on, talk about, hey, who are the prospects that will be for the Sabres at 11? I know we're getting a lot of, you know, already on social media. Somebody mentioned Tej Iginla, who is, you know, listed at 11 or 12, and he's Jerome Iginla's son. So that's a name that people will remember. But I think that the draft lottery will be entertaining, will be exciting, Dan. But it's not rigged. And I want to make sure we make that clear here on Sabres Live, because the Sabres got Dahlin and Power, as you mentioned. But are you going to watch? Are you going to watch at 6:30, or you'll just follow it on social media?
What else is on? That's always my first question. Like, what am I giving up for the draft lottery that I can find out just from... Look, I'm fitting in with the new generation.
The news is on at 6:30.
Yeah, but that's always negative. It's 28 minutes of the worst stories that you think the planet's just never going to survive. And then it's a puppy show, story at the end of it to tell you the world's okay. So don't watch the news, all right? Forget the news, except local newscasts. You got to watch that. Yeah, I'll watch. Of course I will. I mean, we all have a vested interest in what's going on here as members of this organization. So I will watch. And I am extremely intrigued to see what Kevin does with the pick. If they, let's say they creep up a couple of spots within the top 10 and they find themselves maybe in a spot, I'm sure they're ready for it, but maybe aren't really counting on. And at the end of the day, when you look at the draft history for the team, they drafted some very talented players and they're showing their talents both at the NHL level and now, of course, in the playoffs with Rochester. I'm still a guy that wouldn't mind seeing this team add some size and some beef. And if that is available in the draft, and if you've got an 18-year-old kid that's standing 6'2", and he's already 200 pounds, and he's a forward that scores 36 goals in the Ontario League or wherever, I've always been kind of wired as that kind of guy. And sometimes that comes from being around guys like our friend, I'll call him Coach Dudley, who's done a great job over the past of scouting players and talent coming out of the Canadian Hockey League. And you take a look at the job he did for a number of years with Florida and Chicago. I like the way he approaches the draft. We think in similar ways. So it'll be interesting to see what Kevin and his group does. They've certainly had a style of player that they like to pick. It's been documented. It's been talked about. It's been admitted. Lots of speed, lots of skill. Size hasn't really been something that's been top of the list when it matters. If they think they've got a guy at 5'11 and he can play better than the kid at 6'3", that's the guy they're going to take. And there's nothing wrong with that. At some point, you know, you take a look at the playoffs for me personally, and I take a look at what maybe could you keep adding to the closet. As Kevin Adams said this morning, you never want to keep adding to that cupboard. And maybe that is if it lands there and it's someone that's on their board that they like. You got a 6'3", 210 pounder. Again, at the age of 18, I'm jumping all over that as far as adding that to my cupboard. And then if you want to move that down the road, if somebody else was interested in that player, those trades can still come down the road, right, Marty? You can make the pick, but then maybe somebody else had their eye on the player, and then you make that part of a multiplayer deal to get the piece you want for now. So there's a lot of ways you can work it.
Last year in Nashville, zero trades in the first round of the playoffs. It went all 32 picks were made with Gary Bettman going up to the microphone and saying, you know, the Buffalo Sabres pick with everybody. There was never a, we have a trade to announce at any moment. Nobody switched, right, you know, picks. So that was that. And just to be clear, Sabres can only pick right now with the lottery 1, 2, 3, 11, 12, 13. They can't tonight say drop down two spots to number 9 on number 8. It's not going to happen. That's not how the draft lottery works. You can get one. If you win the lottery, you get to one. Now, there's a second lottery for the second pick. Now, if somebody else wins number 1, that's below you in the standings, and then you win the second lottery, you move to number 2. If somehow the Flyers were to win the number 1, the first lottery, they would slide into 2, and then you win the second, you slide to 3, very unlikely to that, and then 11, 12, 13. So those are the 6 spots the Sabres could find themselves after tonight's draft lottery. A lot of people are saying, hey, if you get 11, 12, or 13, move the pick, you know, trade that first round pick with maybe a prospect or two, go acquire pieces to win now. Kevin Adams did mention winning now is important for them right now. Rochester Americans, Dan, don't play until Friday night. Game 5 of their playoff series against the Syracuse Crunch, the deciding game. That's the best out of 5. Friday, 7:00, Blue Cross Arena. Sabres Live will be on the road on Friday. So Duffer and I will be at Blue Cross Arena. Coach Seth Appert will join us. We may have Vinny Prospol join us as well. There's also going to be potentially a little get-together sometime in the afternoon. We'll wait until this gets announced. But a lot of good things for fans from Buffalo, from Rochester, to enjoy Friday leading up to the game. So that will be fun. But since we're talking about the playoffs, last night, game 1, Boston at Florida, I felt like this was an exciting hockey game. It was 0-0 all the way through the middle of the second period. But, Dan, the Boston Bruins just push the pedal down after being down 1-0. What'd you make up of how Boston came out and mostly how Florida wasn't able to stop them in their tracks when they got going?
Well, I just finished watching the game before we came on, so I'm glad you asked the question, Marty. That's how prepared I am. But listen,
good.
I thought for the first period it was pretty even, but both teams had scoring chances right away. So, you know, a lot of sports cliches that we hate and the talk about rust and rest and all that stuff. I was glad that it wasn't a factor in the hockey game because the first period really showed that both teams were able to play at their level that they needed to be at. Pastrnak had the first look. Bobrovsky makes the first save of the game. And then right after that, you know, Florida looked really good early and they tested Swayman. I thought Swayman did what he needed to do for Boston. If they were going to have any kind of lag in their game, give up a couple of chances just because of either fatigue or having a different opponent all of a sudden, despite the video preparation that they're staring down, Swayman held the fort until, as you mentioned, the moment in the second period that Boston found their game. And again, it was after they gave up the first goal of the game, and it was a great goal by the Panthers. And then Boston just, they stuck to it, didn't they? I mean, they didn't change who they are. They didn't do anything different with their game. They just, you know, they've got a real trust in how they play. And I really like, I've always liked this player. I know people hate him, but I've been asked so many times, hey, if you were to build a team, where are your first two players? And for me, it was always 63 and 36.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I said it many times when they both played for the Boston Bruins. I said, if you're going to build a team for me, I get the Connor McDavid's out there. I get the Jack Eichel is out there. I get the all these big name players. But for me, it's just the smarts and the hockey IQ and the grit and the battle and the way that Brad Marchand knew that if he went to the front of the net, which he's going to do all the time anyway, but he knows Aaron Ekblad's going to be all over him. And Aaron Ekblad almost had him in a headlock. It wasn't, but it was close in front of the net on the goal by Carlo, I believe it was. And Bobrovsky had no chance to see that puck coming through. So Boston, you know, once they found their game, They just go to the basic principles of, hey, they got big defensemen. Let's take them right to the front of the net. They're going to do the screen job for us. And then defensemen getting pucks to the net. And that's all you can do in the playoffs because shots are going to get blocked, especially in the third period of games more often. So I like the game for Boston's view. I know I picked Florida to win the series. I think the Panthers will find another gear. I don't think there was rust in their game, but I think there was a realization of just how much, maybe a little bit sharper they need to be. And so I still think it's going to be a 7-game series.
Well, I'll tell you this. If I had to vote right now on the MVP, Conn Smythe, after one round and one game, I think my vote would go to Jeremy Swayman. He was so good again for the Boston Bruins. He did, you know, I don't want to say struggle, but had to go to game 7 against Toronto, and it was a little sketchy, but he's still their best player, right? And in game 1, Boston ends up getting 5 goals in game 1. The 5th goal was Jake DeBrusk in an empty net. They got goals from Morgan Geekie, Mason Lowry, Brandon Carlo, and Justin Brazil. Like, that is not the guys that were on my bingo cards to say, hey, Boston is going to score 5 goals. Let's take the empty net, put it aside. And these are the guys that are going to score a goal. Talking about Brandon Carlo, he actually was not with the team in Florida when they left Boston because his wife was having a baby. And he comes in and scores that goal that you mentioned late in the second period that made it 3-1. And look, that's his second goal of the playoffs. Probably had a whirlwind of a 48 hours. But I'll tell you, Dan, I remember in 2008 when we were in the playoffs with the Flyers and we played the Washington Capitals. And my daughter Emily was born between game 2 and 3 of the first round. So we win game 2 in Washington. I come home the next morning. I'm like, sorry, guys, I'm not coming to practice. Got to go to the hospital. Went to the hospital. You know, luckily everything went well. We had Emily. And then we won game 3 the very next night. And Mr. Ed Snyder, who is the, you know, chairman, the owner of the Flyers for many, many years. And I know here in Buffalo, you mentioned the word Flyers and Snyder. And it's like, we hate them because they beat the Sabres in 75. But Mr. Ed Snyder came into the room after game 3, which we won. And he gave me a big hug. He was like, Marty, I'm so excited because playoff babies are lucky. Anytime I've had somebody have a playoff baby, we've had good fortune, good luck. So I always kept that because we ended up going to the conference finals, right? And that was my first time playing in the playoffs. And I thought playoff babies are lucky. And so now when I found out that Carlo and his wife had a baby, I'm thinking, should I make my prediction different? Should I pick the Boston Bruins now to beat the Florida Panthers because playoff babies are lucky? I don't know. Do you believe in those things, Dan? Do you believe like certain things are lucky and like we have to pay more attention to and maybe it changes how you see a series playing out?
I want to say yes and be a nice guy, but I don't think so. I don't think that lucky had anything to do with, for example, what I just talked about, Brad Marchand going to the front of the net with Aaron Ekblad. That's hockey. That's not luck. That's hockey. Also, you a moment ago talked about who got the goals for Boston, and you look at the quality, especially of the, was it the low ride goal that went up top on Bobrovsky's short side?
Yeah, that was a great short side goal, made it 2-1.
I don't think there's much luck in that. I think that is just a guy who's practiced roofing the puck from that spot and put the work in. And I think one thing we found out about Mason Lowry is he's going to be a heck of a hockey player for some time because he's looked really good early on. So
remember we saw him at the development camp, right? With the Bruins, he came to development camp. The prospect challenge, that rookie prospect tournament. Yeah. So he was there for the Boston Bruins. That's the first time I saw him.
Yeah. So I just think it's a nice story. I'm not, you know, I agree 100%. It's a nice story. I think it's even nicer for you and that you have that one to share because you do often you're right. Listen, for the younger Sabres fans, when you get older, that anger that you're hanging on to for the Flyers and, you know, Mr. Snyder and
Bobby Clark and
Bobby Clark and those guys. And then especially, you know, we're privileged in this job, especially for myself, having ever played in the game. When you're up in a press box and you start meeting these guys away from the game, you know, I can imagine running into Billy Smith, who I used to go to games to on my own in Toronto, just to yell and scream at how much I hated him and how dirty he was, that if I get a chance to meet the guy, I'd probably go, Pretty cool dude. So
yeah, talk to Lindy Ruff about it when Lindy got headbutted in the face by Billy Smith and then jumped him, right? That's one of the famous Lindy Ruff moments when he jumped Billy Smith, the goalie.
Well, we'll talk about that. But to my point being, you know, it's nice to hear that story about Mr. Snyder, and it's nice to hear that the other markets were. Listen, I was talking with the folks in Philadelphia about, you know, the dog rescue and fostering that we talked about, and that's how it all came to be, was from doing some game research. And then at the end of it, I said, okay, that's great. We've all been nice to each other about this. Now let's get the Sabres-Flyers rivalry heated up again, because that's what we all want, right?
Definitely want that. Those rivalries are good for the game. You mentioned Lowry's goal. That made it 2-1. Like, you're thinking that second period may get out of it 1-1. Florida scores first. Matthew Tkachuk scores. Yesterday, Dan, you and I talked about the change in momentums, right? Sometimes you feel them. As an announcer, you're on the press box, like RJ, like we'd always have a different tone when all of a sudden he felt the switch, right? Going on Sabre's way. Morgan Geekie scores just over a minute after Matthew Tkachuk made it 1-0. That goal for me is one of the most important goal in the playoffs so far for any team. Being able to say, we are going to stop you, Florida. We're going to show you we are in this game, and we're going to get right back into it. We talked about it yesterday, and it happened in that game.
Yeah, and listen, throughout the course of the Sabres year, I can't mention every goal. Probably Brian would off the top of his head, but you do remember the moments where after giving up one, it's the next shift that you either get it back or it's within the next minute, say 90 seconds to be fair, that you do realize, hey, no, the boys are in the game here. They're not worried about falling behind. As we've talked about many times 2 years ago, they had that attitude that we fall behind, hey, as long as there's time on the clock, we're in the game. So you do notice that from, you know, the perspective we sit at. Sometimes it's a bit harder watching on TV to figure out, is this momentum? Is it luck? Is it, you know, good play? So I really felt that the end of that second period, I didn't see the third goal coming or suspect that goal was coming. I really thought it was going to get out being a 2-1 at that time. And then when the Carlo goal does come in, I think that's when a little bit of the, if you just want to kind of have fun with it and say that the Bruins magic was on that night, that they just had that, they had that little extra something, even though Florida pushed a lot in that game. But to your point earlier, Jeremy Swayman was a major difference in that hockey game.
The numbers at the end of the game, the Florida Panthers expected goals were close to 4 in that game. So Jeremy Swayman almost saved 3 goals above expectations, which according to Mike Kelly at Sports Logic, that's the second best goalie performance of the playoffs so far. The first best goalie performance, that's Jeremy Swayman in game 1 against Toronto, where he saved 3.5 goals above expectation or close to that. So Jeremy Swayman, after game 1 in Toronto, didn't play game 2. The Bruins decided we're going to split the first 2 games. They put Linus Ullmark in there. It didn't work for them, not Ullmark's fault. I think now we know there's no chance Ullmark plays in any games now at Jeremy Swayman's net. And Swayman, by the way, will be a restricted free agent this summer. So I'm going to just say this. Last summer, I kept saying, I would love for a team to offer sheet Jeremy Swayman. We'd love for a team to offer sheet Jeremy Swayman. Put the Bruins in a tough spot, but also make a play on a really, really good goaltender. I get it. The Sabres have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devon Levi, and these guys are coming up, and they're coming up strong. But if somehow there was a way that you could say, I want to put the Boston Bruins in a tough spot by, you know, negotiating a contract with Swayman's agent, and I don't care about the compensation. I don't care if it's going to cost me a first, a second, and a third round pick because of the number that I'm meeting at. I want a team to do it. I would like the Sabres to do it, but if the Sabres don't do it, that's fine. I want a team to offer sheet Jeremy Swayman and put the Boston Bruins in a tough spot. Is it mean of me to want that to happen?
No, it's another aspect of the game that's out there that, you're not alone. For years, guys have wished that more, let's say, an approach by general managers not to put the bolts to one another, as has been described in the past, right? It's been done before, offer sheeted. GMs have come out quite publicly and said, why would you do that to me? I would never do that to you. But look, this is...
Hey, I'm trying to win. I don't... Yes. You don't want to win. I'm trying to win.
Yeah. I mean, you could be, again, you could be buddies after the game, but really leading up to the game and within the game and building your team, throw that all out the window. If the guy never wants to make another trade with you, then that's his problem. He just took a team off his list. You didn't, because you maybe got the guy you wanted, or you put them in a bit of a hole that they had to make a decision. How much would you pay him?
Well, here's the thing. According to Cap Friendly, and that's, you know, always the place to go to, if you were to pay Jeremy Swayman between $6.5 million and $8.5 million on average, so the AAV between $6.5 and $8.5, the compensation that would go back is a first rounder, a second rounder, and a third rounder. Anything over 8.5 would be 2 firsts, a second, and a third. I don't think you go over 8.5. I don't think goalies are not getting paid that much. And I know Bobrovsky and Vasilevsky are getting paid that much, and it's all great. I wouldn't go over 8.5, but I think anywhere between 6.5 and 8.5 would be a good number. Now you negotiate the terms. Is it on a 4 or 5 year deal, 6 year deal, whatnot? I'd pay a first, second, and third to get a goaltender like Jeremy Swayman, who's, you know, going to probably win a Vezina trophy if he continues to play that way. He's young. He's got the total package. So, yeah, I would definitely do it. It's 6 years, $7 million a year. You know, say you go to 42 million over 6 years. We'll go to 49, 7 years, $7 million a year. I mean, you're stealing him from the Boston Bruins. I would do it.
Yeah, if the Bruins decide they want to let him go. So 25 years old, a 6'2", about a 200-pound goaltender. What do you pay Nuku-Pekka Luukkonen?
Well, Luukkonen is going to be interesting because he has to sign this summer. I feel like Luukkonen would be on a shorter-term deal for me. I still am not ready to commit 6, 7, or 8 years to Nuku-Pekka Luukkonen. Saying a 3-year deal probably works. And you have to look at Stuart Skinner. You have to look at those guys that got signed recently that didn't have a lot of track record, didn't have a lot of games. Stuart Skinner is at $2.6 million on a 3-year deal. Is Nuku-Pekka Luukkonen the same as Stuart Skinner? Maybe it's 2.8, maybe it's $3 million, but I wouldn't go much higher than that, and I wouldn't go long-term. I still think there's a lot of question mark when it comes to Nuku-Pekka Luukkonen. And that's where I'd be at. But again, look, maybe you're absolutely in love with UPL and your projections may come right. If you sign him long-term and he becomes the guy for the longest time, then great. I just wouldn't be ready to commit that just now. But that's a great question. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more this summer when we get towards, you know, free agency and contracts and arbitrations and all of that starts happening. Dan, great first segment. Lots of energy. You look great today, by the way. You look clear, new computer, everything. I love every second of it. I know you got a Brian Adams t-shirt underneath that Buffalo hoodie you got, and, you know, got to stick with our good old Canadian
artist. Waking up the neighbors. Yeah,
absolutely. Listen, Hart finalists, MVPs have been announced. We're going to talk about that. There's two games in the NHL tonight, Carolina at New York, Avalanche at Stars. We're going to talk about that and many, many more here as we come back after a short break on Sabres Live, WGR 550 and MSG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.